You're right.
Interviews with haunting gurus.
Coming out of quarantine for a quick minute is the head psycho of the big small haunt located in Salisbury, New Hampshire. It's Brett Walker of the Salisbury Wood Haunted Barn and Trail. What's up, Brett?
Hey, what's up? Well, I think the zombie apocalypse is up, but I haven't been outside recently.
I guess it's about as close as the zombie apocalypse can get. Let's hope it doesn't get any closer than this.
Yeah, I think this is just a prequel, but yeah.
You know, it's funny how we watch The Walking Dead and all of these other zombie apocalypse movies and Day of the Dead, all of these shows over the years. And it's always like, oh yeah, it's kind of fun to fake reality that you could never really happen to us. But yeah, it can. And hopefully we don't get any closer. But
it might be a good source for free realistic props. So, we'll kind of see how it works out. Could be. Got to look on the bright side of these things, right?
Yeah, always the glass half full, you know?
Exactly.
So let's talk about this big small haunt of yours. This small spectacle up in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Warren just kind of hit me to your haunt, and he was like, "Yeah, I got this. This would probably be a good person to have on the show because he doesn't fit in just the home haunt, and he's not a pro haunt.
Yeah,
he's kind of somewhere in limbo in between the two."
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we try to run it on a pro haunt scale, you know, as far as how we try to put stuff together and planning and safety and all that sort of stuff. But, from a funding standpoint, from an income standpoint, 100% of the gate. Other than a couple of expenses, we let the haunt pays for our insurance and marketing costs, basically. But other than that, 100% of the gate goes to the charities. We raise money for the local schools. It all goes through to the local parent teacher groups. And this year, we're actually adding the music boosters from the high school as a receiving charity. And other than that, it's all self-funded. So that's kind of where we're different from a pro haunt, is I don't have a budget other than what is coming out of my pocket.
Okay, so I guess that's how you get around, because that was one of my first questions, because even me, I even have a small yard haunt and had a tiny little three-room walkthrough
in my
driveway, and I was, all of a sudden, I was having all kinds of headaches from the neighbor in town, and I finally just stopped doing the walkthrough thing last year.
Sure, yeah.
So I was wondering, how do you get by, but... Of course, if you're funding some of the local schools,
then
of course they're going to let you do it. Because
I work really hard to keep good relations with the neighbors, we have the actors in the haunt are made up of students, teachers, town officials, so forth. You know, one of the town selectmen's helps me build. So it definitely helps that it's a charity haunt. I definitely don't think we could run it as a pro haunt here just for that.
Yeah, is it on your property?
Yes, it's on our property.
So how many acres do you have?
Well, I have 10 acres out here. The haunt's on a couple.
Because it's yours, you can leave it there year-round, and you don't
have a lot of tear down
that you have to do.
Yeah, well, there is a fair, because obviously we take down all the props and so forth, and there's a couple hundred speakers and lights that have to come down, so they don't get ruined. But
So explain the layout. It's obviously, I'm taking from the name because I'm wicked smart.
There you go.
You have a barn. And you also walk them through a trail setup. Is it like wooded trail or?
Yeah. So there's a small barn. It's actually a small horse barn out there. We have a fairly good sized temporary structure that we put up in front of it. That's kind of our clown town. And after they go through the barn, they head off into the trail, and it's kind of a windy, trail out there. Total overall, it's about a 25-minute walkthrough. And so we have quite a few, buildings out there of various sets that we kind of wander them through with, fencing all up along the pads and stuff to put barriers between the lanes.
Yeah, so that's where they start off. They go through the barn, which is Clown World.
Well, yeah, Clown Town's kind of in the front. That's the very front section, Clown Town, which is in a temporary building that we just put up, and it has a domed roof over the top of it, tarped dome roof that they go through. Come out of that, they go into a blacklight section. So we have a kind of a dot room out there that with more clowns, but they're blacklight clowns. And then the barn itself is kind of, you know, we're always moving. Well, in all the areas, we're always updating and changing scenes, but you kind of go into the barn, and there's some more traditional, you know, haunt, you know, horror kind of scenes in there. We have an exorcism scene in one room, and the front room was a toy room this last year, and a sane asylum in the back, and a body hallway, and that kind of stuff. You know, the kind of the more traditional, you know, horror kind of genre. They come out of the barn into Zombie Town, which is basically a chain link maze that, you know, kind of wanders them back and forth. And, you know, talking to The Walking Dead, that's kind of the, you know, there are zombies on either side of the chain link fence and some inside the chain link fence with them as they wander through. And then from there, they're off into the woods. And a lot of different scenes out there, too. Obviously, you know, we have they kind of go through a scarecrow section past the giant spider into the spider tunnel, off into the what we call the candy shack, which is kind of a human butcher shop, you know, surrounded, you know, kind of the Hansel and Gretel theme. Around the corner into the castle, out of the castle section into a maze. It's a rat maze that they come through. What do we got? Then there's the pig guy, the pig family, into the maze of lost children, off into the vampire house, chainsaw guy, and then the final walkway kind of out through and past the alien scene. So, and that's last year's setup. So
yeah. Now, when you're saying like the house, do you have like little structures every so many yards or whatever?
Yeah, so they go, it depends on
the, come by the little structure. They go through a little structure and come out, and
yeah. So we have kind of a little bit of like the vampire house. It's got a, you know, a facade on it. So they're basically, you think about their movie sets type facades. So it looks kind of like a Victorian house before you go in, and then you it's probably a, I'm trying to remember, it's like a 20 by 30 foot room inside. With a hallway and so forth. That's that. You know, the Hansel and Gretel house is quite a bit smaller, probably about a 12 by 12, you know. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of little buildings out there that are all kind of built specifically for the scenes with you know, facades on the front of them.
So, yeah, so you just have to break down the facade, but the structure stays there year round.
Yeah, actually the facades pretty much stay up out there in the woods too. So I purposely, the trail is pretty much built in, it's kind of junk wood out there, so it's all poplar and stuff, and so I kind of put it where there isn't really any, you know, the rest of the woods is kind of my wood lot where I cut my firewood for the year, but the trail is you know, situated amongst what I'd consider, you know, junk wood.
How much do you change out your pont each year?
Yeah, so I mean, we're kind of entering a little bit of a different phase in the fact that, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years, the haunt has literally doubled every year, pretty much in size. So, you know, we're always adding new stuff, and we were changing some stuff out, but we're mostly concentrating on the new, adding the new stuff. And so this year we're really adding one major scene, and then we're, you know, switching out quite a bit of the barn, and Clown Town's getting kind of a remake, makeover. You know, we're kind of on I look at it like a 3-year schedule. I like to have things kind of, you know, they're there 3 years later, it's probably going to be gone. Or at least revamped.
It's not like you have to swap things out when you're adding on. People are seeing things new. It's only, I guess, when you get to that point where you've kind of run out of space, so you can't add anything else on. Then, yeah, you, 3 years, you're gonna put something new in there, right?
Yeah, like I said, even while we were building out, we were taking stuff out. You know, the first year we had like an electrocution scene, you know, that lasted about 3 years, and just, you know, we took it out, turned it into an insane asylum, and you know, completely revamped it. We, you know, always trying to have something new so people that do come back, they, you know, they get a different show every time.
Yeah, people coming from a distance, or are they all pretty much just like the town and surrounding?
Well, we get quite, yeah, we get people from all over. Last year, we had people coming in from New York and Vermont and Maine and, you know, all over New Hampshire, so out from Massachusetts. So, yeah, we get
oh, pretty good. Oh, Jesus, those massholes.
Yeah, I know, exactly. we really haven't any security problems before that started happening, but now.
those freaking guys, keep them out of there. How far up are you? What's your closest town? Are you near Concord?
So we're literally like 17 minutes out of Concord. So the first exit out of Concord, New Hampshire, which is exit 17, and then we're still 15 minutes off, 15 minutes off the highway. But we're just north of Concord. I mean, we're 50 miles out of Boston. That's not that far.
Yeah, it's not too shabby. I was just up there too. I was went to Gunstock with my son.
Oh yeah, that's not far from here. Yeah.
Before everything had shut down, it was probably timing. He was on a spring break, and spring break was ending. And I'm like, yeah, let's go up. I've never done it with him, and he kind of the kid's like oh my god, the kid's a natural snowboarder. I mean, seriously, he had like one time about 2 years ago, and he was freaking flying by me. I just skied. I'm like, I tried learning one day, and I'm like, I just need more time. I need at least another lesson, maybe. And I'm like, I don't have time to screw around with that. So I skied. I let him snowboard. But it was it was fun because I haven't gotten off the Cape or out of Massachusetts in a little bit to do something like that anyway.
Sure.
So it was cool getting up there.
Yeah.
That's cool. So
we like your tourist money, so thanks.
Yeah, of course, man. Take our cash
and then
show us the door.
Yeah. I didn't say that, but you did, so.
I know, man. I'm self-aware. So when did you start the haunt?
So 2014 was our first year. So this is our seventh year now. We're just starting.
You're almost a newbie.
Yep. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. So before that, we were just yard haunters. You know, we had a yard haunt out front, and then 2014, we started the barn, and it was tiny little haunt out there. We charged like $3.
Okay. So you did the yard haunt out, your standard, like kind of yard haunt, front yard setup for how many years?
Oh, that's a tough one. 10, 15 years. I don't know. You know what I mean? It started small and then just, kind of grew. My wife's a big Halloween nut, even, more than me. But I always built it and had to put it out. But.
Well, that's good because I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of divorces from haunters over the years. If your wife isn't into this, it's going to make life really complicated.
Oh, I can imagine. Like, the only problem is she's always feeding me, you really should build this, and you really should build that. And it's like, we open in like 3 weeks, so I'm not building that.
That would have been nice if you, brought that up to me about 8 or 9 months ago. But
yeah, exactly.
So you've had the sickness from way back.
Yeah, we've been at it for a while. Yeah, we really love Halloween, so.
How could you not?
Yeah, but we've been at the big small haunt. It hasn't been long enough, so we've gotten jaded yet. It's still fun.
So the theme is kind of it's a lot of different themes just thrown in.
We're not really thematic. It's really about just grabbing all kinds of different fears and really try to focus on scaring everybody, and entertaining everybody. So, I haven't really kind of tried to just run it on any, individual theme, because we're always coming up with new stuff to add and subtract to. And, a theme kind of might guide you, but it also limits what you can do a little bit.
Yeah,
too.
You have a lot of freedom doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Revenant, who does the Theater of the Mind segment on our show, has talked about what he calls the Haunt 57 style, where it can be any, you can go from the alien room to the, Victorian room to the, whatever, the mummy room to this.
Yeah.
You're never limited. You don't have to try to fit something in.
Yeah.
To make it work into your theme, you can just go, hey, let's do that. And just
there's a patch. There's there's a patch of land over here. Let's get the tractor and put something there.
You do all of the marketing, what, on like Facebook or whatever? Because I didn't. Yeah. You don't have a website set up. You just have a Facebook page.
Yeah, and that's probably a failing that we probably should put together sometime. But well, that's a, you know, when you're the CEO and the janitor, you know, some things don't always get done. Yeah. So, Facebook's actually been a really pretty good marketing tool for us. And you know, we're on Google lists and stuff, so that people can find us on Google. You know, and then we do a lot of print around the neighborhood. You know, we put flyers up and postcards and stuff everywhere we can, you know, within a 50-mile radius.
It's working because you said you're like doubled in size and,
yeah,
and you got the crowds are coming in.
Yeah, we have
you're charging only $8 a head. Right?
Well, we're gonna be $10 this year. We're going up, and we're probably gonna hang there for a little bit. But I want a good family value. That's always kind of been my as I look at the pricing, and you know, because we're obviously not in it to try to make money other than money for the charity, and we raise some decent money for them. But I also want, you know, that family of five to come and have a good time and not empty their bank account, you know.
$50, get the whole family in. You can't go to the movies for that kind of money.
Yeah, exactly. And that way, and I never want anyone leaving the show saying, "Oh, that wasn't worth whatever." We get so many people that come around the at the end of the haunt. It's like, "Wow, you guys are not charging enough," and that's exactly the response I want. So,
are these all volunteers who help you out?
Yeah, everybody's a volunteer. Last year we had just under 100 people working for us. And in any given night, you know, we're 60 to 75 actors out there. And, you know, four of us doing makeup.
And how many nights are you running the haunt?
So last year, 2019, we were open five. I'm actually still struggling this year. So we've been open. What we do is we open every Saturday in October and the last Friday. So I haven't committed yet to open October 3rd this year, which would put a sixth day in for us. But I haven't. I'm not saying I'm not doing it. I just haven't committed yet.
That's amazing that you can get that many people who volunteer. Which I guess if it's for the school, you probably get most of your volunteers from the schools.
It's probably 50-50. I mean, there is an advantage, you know, the high school kids can get community service hours that they need, you know, and they come help. Some of them actually come help and do some of the setup and stuff too for community service. Quite honestly, there are some nights this year where we really just kind of had to say no. You know, we just was like, I can't costume any more people, and I don't have holes for them, you know, to stick them in. And
more people offering to volunteer than you have spots for in the haunt.
Yeah, and I don't want to say that and turn people away because that's not every night. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you know, we need, from my perspective, I need at least 50 or 60 people to really fill the trail, you know what I mean, to do what I think it needs and not really have any empty spots. And then there's always there's places to put, you know, that other 30. There's always other places. And you know, that what happens too is, you know, after our first night or two, we start getting, you know, "Hey, my buddy wants to come," or, you know, "Hey, I just went through your haunt, I'd love to come check it out and I'd like to come." And you kind of have to, you know, just kind of put the brakes on there, because obviously you don't have time to kind of really spend much time with them to get them situated into place. And we try to make, I think about the actors when I build the sets. I think about the actors when, you know, I put the roles together, you know, because you want people to have a good time and come back. And then I think we just, you know, we put on a good show. So I think the actors enjoy being part of that.
Do you give them any training?
Yeah, so not necessarily. I mean, I do. There's no formal training. I mean, you know, that is definitely something that, you know, it would be nice to have. Part of the problem is we get a lot of volunteers. It's hard to get them together before to spend tons of time with them. But we send tons of material. We have a Facebook group for just the actors, for our volunteers. So I'm always feeding information through there. you know, I worked the line, so my character Scabby the Clown, I'm actually, you know, I'm basically an insult clown that works the line. It's a good way to weed out drunks and find obnoxious people by insulting them. But then that also gives me, you know, working the line gives me the ability to kind of, you know, steal away. And so after like the first two groups go through, I start walking through the haunt myself. I'll follow behind and just kind of see what's going on and give them tips and you know, try to coach them a little bit. Yeah, the problem with having, you know, 98 actors or 100 actors this year is there's a lot more management and a lot less fun.
Yeah. You know, the more people, more problems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But it puts for a good show. That's the thing, is there's people, you know what I mean? There's very few dead spots in there. Yeah, you know what? We get a rainy night. We're not going to have a lot of, our actor counts will be down maybe to 50 or whatever, but also our visitor counts are down. You know, it's, but we still work hard to put on a great show, rain or shine.
The atmosphere must be spectacular when it rains. It's kind of probably a muddy mess. And
well, it's not muddy mess. Last year I brought in a mini excavator and retrenched the whole property to change the water out there. I don't even want to think of how many tons of gravel we've brought in, and all the paths are paved either in gravel or hardwood playground crush. So mud's not an issue on our trails, that's for sure.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I mean, that's why we spent a lot of time and money out there making them.
Now, who does the set building and prop building and stuff like that?
So I primarily do it. I got a buddy of mine, Jim, who comes and helps me quite a bit, and there's various other people who will come out and help. So, you know, I design the stuff, and then I, you know, put a call out and tell people when we're out there working, and whoever shows up gets.
Do you buy? Are you buying props, or do you do everything homemade for the most part?
A lot of the stuff we make, you know, we buy a little bit, but you know, I'm always on Craigslist and stuff looking for, you know, like our medical scene. You know, we got real, you know, nice stainless steel exam tables that, you know, I picked off of Craigslist and so forth. So, you know, I'm always looking for stuff, but I build a lot of stuff, you know, in our human butcher shop out there. You know, I made all the body parts, just carved them, and actually did a presentation at the East Coast Haunt Club, kind of the process, you know, that we did for finishing them. So we make everything. I make animatronics. We got a big dragon out there, and the big dragon head that raises up, you know, 12 feet in the air in the castle. And I built that basically using a basketball hoop frame to and then putting an actuator on the back of that to lift, raise and lower the head, and another actuator to operate the mouth. So, yeah. So you
actually have some skills.
I built a few things.
I really enjoy. I mean, I do. Like I say, I was doing some acting when I had my my walkthrough, and I still do. I'm still out there. Like even when I was giving out candy last year,
yeah,
I was still startling kids and, you know, getting some good scares and stuff. It was, yeah. I mean, that's all what it's all about. But I do really enjoy just building stuff. You know, I build shit. That's what I really like to do.
I like to do it too. I like to build it, you know, May, June. That's fun. Around September, I start hating it because the list is still there, and you know it's getting closer and closer to open. So.
I'm most productive in January, February, March, that type of thing. But yeah, sometimes I don't get motivated in time, and then. Like last year, I think I told myself, I don't think I'm going to build or do anything new this year. Once I got to about July, I don't know what it is, like 4th of July weekend, I always have this itch to start building stuff.
Yeah, my process, you know, because so we're literally building in the winter. I mean, in the summer, you know what I mean? So we're, you know, we're building a new satanic chapel that's going to be out there, and it's like, yeah, I don't remember what the dimensions are. It's like 12 by 25 or something. And with a big, you know, with a facade on the front of it. So I spend time in the winter preparing the props and so forth that are going to go into that, you know. So we have a big, you know, pentagram that's going to be, you know, a couple up on the wall inside and stuff. So I had to kind of carve all that and get it ready now, because I'll literally be building in the summer.
What do you consider to be your favorite set?
My favorite set is probably the simplest set of the bunch because it gets probably the biggest reaction. And actually, we had a fellow hunter from the East Coast Hunt Club who came up and went through it. And so anyways, it's actually the spider tunnel, which is literally just spider webs. Last year we changed it over to cheesecloth, but it's lit with black light. And it's really, you're walking up to it, it just doesn't look like all that much. And that was kind of, you know, Tom's reaction when he walked up. He saw it. Oh, that's a spider tunnel. And then as soon as he got into it, he realized he was surrounded by thousands of munching spiders. So, and it just freaks people out. So we have, I mean, sound is a huge piece of our haunt. You know, I literally put, you know, a couple hundred speakers up, and we're under kind of a surround sound approach, you know, excuse me. So you walked into this tunnel and there's a speaker, you're literally just surrounded by speakers and it's got the sound of the munching spiders all around it. And it just freaks people out. So the set itself is nothing. It's just, it's all the audio.
How do you run your audio? You say you have all these speakers out there. Do you have some kind of a centralized control system, or do you have individual sound system MP3 players set up around, or how do you do it?
Yeah, so I use all those Leppy audio boosters, or, you know, the audio players. You put the little USB card in it, and they just, the nice thing is you start flipping the switches and turn the haunt on, and the sound just starts coming on. You know, there's no walking around turning anything on. And then just wire up to that. So there's you know, because a lot of it's in the trail, so those audio amplifiers are inside waterproof job boxes, so they can just be left out there all, you know, all season. All that comes down. But each scene kind of has its own sound. Even within the clown town kind of has its own sound. As you travel through each section, there's an appropriate ambient sound that goes with it. And it really kind of sets the tone. I mean, quite honestly, you know, I don't have a six-figure budget for props, but you can have a six-figure haunt with sound.
Where are you picking up all those little Leppy?
I just get them off of Amazon. They used to be $20 with the, with the tariffs, they kind of went up to about 25, but I just get them off of Amazon.
So they, so the way they work, you just put a little SD card in there with the audio on it, and it just loops the audio over and over. So when you, once you turn on the system, once it turns on, audio starts playing, it goes right into the loop, and that's it.
Yeah. So when I build all my own audio files. So I stitch together all various little pieces, and I did a little presentation at the East Coast Haunt Club this year on building audio, and I kind of build a bass sound for whatever the scene is, whatever that ambient noise, just so you don't have, it's not silent, whether it's, you know, crickets going or just, a E minor, you know, a cello playing or something, whatever's appropriate. And then you just start layering sounds on top of it. And it's really to kind of create, so that within the guest's mind, they're filling out the rest of your scene for you.
Audio is powerful.
It is very powerful. So we use quite a lot of it. Like I said, I don't remember how many players. So there's probably 20 different audio zones out there. And you really, as you travel through, I spend a lot of time kind of designing the setup and so forth. So as you travel from zone to zone, you don't necessarily notice that you're kind of passing out of one sound zone and into another, and just the last one disappears, you don't hear it again, you know. And so it takes a little bit of time to kind of get that set right as far as volume and speaker placement and so forth. But that's our, you know, that's probably my biggest tool out there is sound.
What kind of speakers are you using?
Everything and anything.
So they're not necessarily waterproof.
Nah, but you know what? I collect them at Goodwill. I go to the there's a hut at the dump where people throw stuff. You know what I mean? The good used pile at the dump where people put stuff that you can use. I pick them up off of Craigslist, and so for $1 or $2 or free, you put them out there, and they generally last a season or two, anyways. And every year we got to throw a few away because they get damaged, you know. The one thing that has changed in the last year is I stopped buying anything with a wood a wood case on it because they just last, they don't last as long, and I only buy plastic and metal, but still.
The old hi-fi speakers.
Oh yeah, but you put, like I said, if you surround somebody with six of them, you'd be surprised at, you know what I mean?
If you could get your hands on some like the old JBLs man, those things kick ass.
Yeah, they do. So we get pretty good sound out there. I mean, you know, for not much of a system, and I think it really makes a difference.
That's great, man. So do you have to, or do you try to just cover them over with some plastic a little bit over the top, or do you just?
I used to, but I don't even do that anymore. I have brackets. I screw them into the trees, and like I said, at the end of the season, if it's been a really wet season, I got to throw some away. And then I just, like I said, if I got to replace 10, it's, you know, $30. So it's not worth the effort to build, you know, to cover them up. It's just not worth the effort to, you know what I mean, to try to protect them for that.
Yeah.
I literally in the barn, there's the whole upstairs of the barn is just full of speakers.
I just actually sold my DJ. I DJed for years doing weddings, and I just finally got rid of all my equipment. Although I had these Mackie powered speakers, which are freaking kick ass. They're tanks and they're, you know, they're like 450 whatever watts each, and they're powered and they're awesome. But I finally, it was like, I sold off two, and I had a third as a backup, and that the third one I kept is for the haunt.
Yeah,
because that's my main audio that I play, you know, with my haunt audio track, because I just pretty much put one out and put it up in the window. It fills out, you know, the entire neighborhood, because the thing is freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it's funny because you asked earlier about, you know, how to, you know, keeping things friendly with the neighbors and stuff. I have my approach to sound is about quantity, not volume. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to blast a lot of sound. And you walk out of the haunt, and you walk across the field out to my house, and you can kind of hear some of the higher pitched stuff out there, but really it's not that loud. You know what I mean? You have to be in the sound field to really get it. You know, when you're step out of the field, it fades away pretty quickly. That also makes it easier as you travel from scene to scene to isolate the sound by scene.
Yeah, where do you get most of your audio from?
Well, so I build my files, basically. You know, I kind of figure out what I want out there, and then I have a whole series of royalty-free or inexpensive sites where I can buy, you know, 99 cents, $3, I can buy a particular piece of audio, and then I just, stitch them together using Audacity to make it whatever I feel the feeling I want out there for each scene.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, you can buy everything. You know, you can buy screams and howls and dogs and creaking and, you know what I mean, whatever you want. Bugs, you know, that spider tunnel is, you know, probably six or seven audio files just kind of stitched together.
Yeah, I've got a ridiculous sound effect library built up over the years, mostly from doing this show. But
yeah,
some of the stuff that I had even way beyond before I started the show, even from back in the 90s when I had grabbed a couple of CDs. I had the, you know, not just the chilling, thrilling sounds of the haunted house CDs. It had all the sound effects, which still have some of the best wolf howls
and bats.
Some great sound effects on those. Just all this stuff I've picked up over the years and collected. And also YouTube, is a ton of sound effects on YouTube that you can search for and grab.
Yeah, I'll say too.
A ton of stuff out there for free that you can pick up.
I'm not selling anything for Amazon, but for 99 cents, it has a big, you know, you can buy a lot of audio files too. Do you know what I mean? And it's easy. It's very searchable. You know, they have a huge database and it's very searchable.
Yeah, we don't need to make Jeff Bezos any more money.
No, that's true. I'm not trying to sell for him, but it's just, you know what I mean? It's a good site for picking up audio if you're trying to build something, you know. The good thing is that the artist is getting the money too, because they're selling it direct on through Amazon. So,
any other tips you can throw out? Something that you might do in your haunt that really makes a big difference?
Well, I think, you know, always look for something new, look for something fresh. You know what I mean? Look to do things your own way. So, meaning, it's okay to work with a traditional theme, but look how to, somehow to make it your own. You know what I mean? Always kind of tweak it, because you really want to get people, give something unexpected.
Add your own personal flair, your own personal flavor, as the kids say.
Yeah.
By the way, what do you do? What's your gig that pays the bills?
So I'm an investment advisor. So as you can tell, I'm probably having a really, you know, relaxed time right now.
Yeah. No, I saw the picture that shows up here on Skype, and I'm like, oh, he looks like a real person, a real legitimate individual. Unlike most of these haunters I talk to, these characters.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be able to afford this otherwise. So, yeah. I mean, I've obviously listened and read a lot of stuff, and I'm sure you know, common thread is the best way to make $1 million as a haunter is to start with $2 million. So, and I'm just glad, you know, profit is not an aspect out there. It's just about putting on the best show. Obviously, we want to make money for the schools, but putting on the best show, that's the target. I have a budget that I spend on Halloween and for the haunt, and it is what it is. That budget might be getting a little bit smaller right now, just to the current economic conditions.
we all will be dialing it back a little bit this year, I'm sure.
Well, I was so disappointed. I literally, because you'd asked me about buying props, you know, I was thinking, I could buy a body for this scene, and maybe I'll go, you know, I was thinking about actually spending up a little bit this year, and now I'm thinking, maybe, you know, I can make that.
I was selling off some stuff, you know, the stuff that I was using for the walkthrough, and I'm like, I just don't need it anymore, so let's get rid of some stuff. So I started going on Facebook Marketplace and blasting some stuff out, putting some stuff on eBay, and then I found this, I forgot I had it, it was like a whole bin full of bones. I had I had Bucky arms, Bucky feet, Bucky legs, Bucky head. So I had all the, I'm pulling out the parts, and I'm like, wow, I actually have all the parts to do a Calden creep. Pretty much all I need to do is buy one of those little motors.
Yeah.
Put a stick in and buy one of those little cheap plastic cauldrons.
Yeah, you don't even need a controller for that.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You just plug it, plug and play. You plug it, it's gone. So I'm thinking, that will be my project this year. That kind of goes with the theme of my haunt. That will be my new item this year, and I'll just kind of try to fix the other two pneumatic ones that weren't working properly, and I'm in business for this year, so
that's the worst. I have a big dragon out there. It's a couple years old at this point, but I built it, and it's a pretty good, it's a nice little prop. But the last year, the first night we were opening, I was having one of the actuators just froze up, and I'm out there the night, you know, we're right before we opened, just busting my ass trying to get that actuator to work, and then I eventually just said, you know what, the dragon's not, head's not going up tonight, and you gotta move on, you gotta open the show. So, you know, that's just the way it is sometimes.
It happens to me almost every year. I think it was maybe if it was two or possibly 3 years ago, I had the first Halloween, it was 2 years ago, first Halloween, everything that I set up, like pneumatic wise the drop pan, all these, everything worked all night long. The lightning effect, the audio, everything worked flawlessly all night long. It was the first time in the 12, 13 years I've been doing this home haunt here on the Cape that everything freaking worked, and I wasn't. I don't get pissed off when things don't work anymore. I just, my attitude is always, well, that's going to be new to everybody next year.
Well, you say that. So last year we put in an exorcism room. And so I collected all this really kind of funky Victorian furniture out there. And, you know, we kind of built this nice little room in the barn. And the main part of the scene, there's a bed in the corner where we have an actress. Now, she's not actually sitting on the bed, but it looks like she's on the bed. And it's all actuated. So she pushes a button and the bed starts, you know, rocking back and forth. And, you know, you can hear demonic sounds and all this stuff going on behind it. And I had a guy that was helping me build, and he was actually doing the welding and stuff to get the frame put together. And it kind of got closer and closer and closer to the haunt, and I kept kind of just nudging and nudging and nudging. Finally, he brings it over, and when we just hooked the motor up and just ran it, just pushing the motor, the bed worked flawlessly. As soon as I put the controller on it, because I was kind of jerking it back and forth and this and that, it kept seizing the you know, overloading the controller, so it would go into an overload mode. And I spent hours and hours. I spent like an entire day, and this is like a week before opening, which I don't have a day to do this one little prop. But the problem is that room in the barn, if the bed didn't rock, essentially the only scare was you went into a badly decorated room.
Yeah.
So the bed had to work. If the bed didn't work, the room didn't work. So we got it to work, unfortunately. But
how did the mechanism work? What do you use?
So basically, it had, you know, we kind of built a fulcrum in the middle. And so it's a metal bed, you know, just a kind of a old style metal, you know, bed frame. And we welded the sides onto it. And then there's a triangle in the middle with a bearings that go through the side rails. So the bed actually doesn't sit on the floor. It just kind of sits up off the floor a little bit. And then there's a wiper motor on one end. And so with an arm on it. So as the wiper motor goes up and down, you know, turns, the bed rocks back up and down. And then by kind of changing the direction of the motor, you can kind of get the bed to, you know, instead of just a simple, you know, that washer machine, doom, 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 you know, you can, you know, kind of get some dynamic movement out of it. But the problem was it was overloading, because you'd stop the movement of the motor, but the bed was rocking. And so if you started the motor back, if the motor was going to start going up, but the bed was in a down bounce, it would actually literally just freeze, you know, because it would get a little bit of an overload and the controller would stop working. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it took a little while to get that. It's working fine. You just change, you know, we changed the time sequence, moved the motor into a different place, did a whole bunch of stuff. But it turned out to be kind of a nice scene. But like I said, it was nothing but a badly decorated room if that bed didn't work. So.
Well, hey, I hope everything goes well. I mean, look, you're an outdoor haunt, so one thing you have going for you is that, right? That you don't, you know, that you're not dealing with like an indoor type thing. And obviously, this is going to blow over in the next, you know, month, two at worst.
Yeah,
it's only within the next month, and then we can get back to normalcy again. You know, play with our
stops
and.
Yeah,
play with our puppets, as my buddy Johnny Thunder always says.
Yeah, October we should be fine. So hopefully
we'll be good. The season will be on.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not gonna. You know, I'm on my own property here. I'm not worried about. You know, so I live in New Hampshire. I socially distance just as a lifestyle. So, you know, I don't see that unless, you know, when I'm working. Obviously, I gotta see people. But you know, on the weekend, if I see two people. The guy across the street at the store to get a six pack of beer, and maybe a buddy of mine. That's, you know, and that my family. That's my social distancing. So,
all right, man. I hope you have a great season.
And, thank you.
It was great talking to you. I take it you probably go to the East Coast Honors thing every summer now, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a good turnout. Right. It's a fun group.
Oh, by the way, where can people find your haunt, get information for it, and all that if they want to go up in October?
Excellent. So the address is 19 Franklin Road in Salisbury, New Hampshire, right at the intersection of Route 127 and Route 4. You go to Facebook and just look for the Salisbury Woods, and you can Google us. We're also on Google, so you can just Google us, the Salisbury Woods. And if you got any questions, there's contact information in both those places, and feel free to reach out to me.
All right, Brett. It's always a pleasure. We'll catch you around the net.
Yeah, great. It was great talking to you, Chris.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.